Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be looking at 2 Kings chapter 18. Just when you thought it couldn't get any darker, there's a light, and what a bright light it was in the kingdom of Judah, in the form of our next king, Hezekiah. Verse 5 says, "There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him." And from the Bible's mouth, that's some high praise. Hezekiah means God will strengthen, and boy did he strengthen the kingdom of Judah during the time he reigned. Hezekiah is what you would call a reformer. Well, let's see what he did. In chapter 18, verse 1, we read, "In the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just like his father David had done. He removed the high places." What? "Smashed the sacred stones and cut down the Asherah poles." It's about time. "He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made, for up to that time the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It was called Nehushtan." Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. And there was no one like him among the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands of the Lord that the Lord had given to Moses. And the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. From the watchtower to fortified city, he defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory. So God was giving Hezekiah victory after victory because Hezekiah had the guts to do what no one else did. And we see that as he stands up to the king of Assyria. When the king of Assyria came through Judah, he took every single city except for Jerusalem. Now, he took Lachish, and the passage talks about that, which may not mean much to you, but it was considered unconquerable and much stronger than Jerusalem. So therefore, if Lachish didn't stand up, Jerusalem didn't stand a chance. It would be much harder to take Lachish, and he did it. So Hezekiah said, "Hey, look, forgive me and withdraw, and I'll pay you whatever you want." So Hezekiah sends him money, and Sennacherib, the field commander, says, "Thanks for the money, but no, too late." Let's read in verse 17 to the end of the chapter, because it's one of my favorite parts of the Bible, and to be honest, this is some epic stuff. Of course, we won't get to hear just how epic it is until the next chapter. But I remember being a kid and watching Luke Skywalker take his stand against Darth Vader, an enemy much more powerful than he was. By the end of The Empire Strikes Back, we're left with Luke Skywalker missing a hand, having his butt kicked, watching Han Solo frozen in carbonite, and the rebels all but destroyed on Hoth. To top it all off, there was this thing that Darth Vader told Luke. And we were pretty sure as kids it was a lie because, well, Darth Vader was evil. Evil Sith Lords say evil Sith Lord things. Like that, "I am your father." We didn't know what to think as kids. It didn't look good for the Jedi. And when I was a kid, we had to wait and wait and wait to see Return of the Jedi. Lucky for you, you only have to wait for tomorrow to find out the conclusion of this story. But let's set the stage for the Assyrian Empire Strikes Back, ending this chapter so we can get back to the return of the Hezai, or Hezekiah. That was short for Hezekiah. The king of Assyria, in verse 17, sent his supreme commander, the chief officer, and his field commander with a large army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. They came up to Jerusalem and stopped at the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the washerman's field. They called for the king, and Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph, the recorder, went out to them. The field commander said to them, "Tell Hezekiah, this is what the great king, the king of Assyria, says. Oh, what are you basing this confidence of yours? You say you have the counsel and the might of war, but you speak only empty words. On whom are you depending that you rebel against me? Look, I know you're depending on Egypt, that splintered reed of a staff which pierces the hand of anyone who leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who depend on him. But if you say to me, 'We are depending on the Lord our God,' isn't he the one whose high places and altars Hezekiah removed, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, 'You must worship before this altar in Jerusalem'? Come now, make a bargain with my master, the king of Assyria. I will give you 2,000 horses if you can put riders on them. How can you repulse one officer of the least of my master's officials, even though you're depending on Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Furthermore, have I come to attack and destroy this place without word from the Lord? The Lord himself told me to march against this country and destroy it. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah and Shebna and Joah, said to the field commander, please, speak to your servants in Aramaic, since we understand it. Don't speak to us in Hebrew in the hearing of the people on the wall. But the commander replied, was it only to your master and to you that my master sent me to say these things, and not to the people sitting on the wall, who, like you, will have to eat their own excrement and drink their own urine? Then the commander stood and called out in Hebrew so all could hear, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you. He cannot deliver you from my hand. Do not let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord when he says, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah. This is what the king of Assyria says to you. Make peace with me and come out to me. Then each of you will eat fruit from your own vine and fig tree and drink water from your own cistern. Until I come and take you to a land like your own, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey. Choose life and not death. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for he is misleading you when he says, the Lord will deliver us. Has the God of any nation ever delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they rescued Samaria from my hand? Who of all the gods of those countries has been able to save his land from me? How then can the Lord deliver Jerusalem from my hand? But the people remained silent and said nothing in reply, because the king had commanded, do not answer him. Then Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna their secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph the recorder, went to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him what the field commander had said. Have you ever found someone who wanted you to doubt your God? Someone who tried to terrify you and make you seem completely bonkers or stupid or nuts for trusting God? There's a story I heard when I was young. It was found in the memoirs of Richard Harvey and apparently took place in the 1920s in a classroom in Pennsylvania. You'll find this on the internet, and it'll bounce around and say that it happened in different places. But there was a professor of philosophy there who was deeply committed as an atheist. His primary goal for one required class was to spend the entire semester attempting to prove that God couldn't exist. His students were always afraid to argue with him because of his impeccable logic. For 20 years, he taught his class, and no one ever had the courage to go against him. Sure, some had argued in class at times, but no one had ever really gone against him. You'll see what I mean later. Nobody would go against him because he had a reputation. At the end of every semester, on the last day, he would say to his class of 300 students, if there's anyone here who still believes in Jesus after my lecture, stand up. In 20 years, no one had ever stood up. They knew what he was going to do next. He would say, because anyone who does believe in God is a fool. If God existed, he could stop this piece of chalk from hitting the ground and breaking. Such a simple task to prove to 300 of you that he's God. And yet, he won't, because he can't. Because he's not real. And every year he would drop the chalk onto the tile floor of the classroom and it would shatter into 100 pieces. The students couldn't do anything but stop and stare. But one year, one student had the guts to stand up. It just so happened as this young man stand up and the teacher dropped the chalk that had bounced off his leg, then off his shoe, and hit the floor unshattered. You know, it doesn't really matter if the chalk shattered or not. It has nothing to do with God at all, whether chalk shatters on the floor when an ignoramus drops it. It's a stupid argument and a stupid test. But the important part of the story is that somebody had the guts to stand up. What do you feel like in situations like that? Daniel was asked to trust God when no one else would. So was David before Goliath. And so was Hezekiah. He didn't have to, but he chose to. He chose to trust God. Read 2 Kings chapter 18 today, and we'll read tomorrow to find the conclusion of the story. Return of the Hezekiah, tomorrow on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.